The recent high-profile arson case that happened in Hangzhou, East China's Zhejiang province, has shocked many people in China. A nanny allegedly murdered a mother and her three children by setting a luxury apartment on fire. This case has once again highlighted China's chaotic domestic helper market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess we're talking about nannies, stay and help,
Yes.
those who you employ to stay in the same roof, under the same roof with you and your family to provide help.
Who are they?
Yes, who are they? And how do you keep things in check?
Yeah.
So yes, first of all, let's talk about this case. What happened in this tragedy?
This is a very, very sad story. So let's review it first. This is a high-profile arson case in Hangzhou that happened recently. It has become a focus of attention for Chinese netizens. The person suspected of starting the fire that killed the mother and her three children is the family nanny. And according to the Shangcheng District Public Security Bureau in Hangzhou, the nanny, surnamed Mo, 34 years old, has been detained by Hangzhou police after she fled the 18th floor apartment after allegedly setting fire to it at 5 a.m. on June the 22nd. Four victims were pronounced dead in hospital, and the case is still under investigation so far. But according to the news report on xinhuanet.com later, the nanny has confessed to the police that she took a book from the living room and set the book on fire, which led to the huge fire later of the apartment. According to the Hangzhou Daily, the four victims were Mo's female client and her three children, two boys aged 6 and 11 and a girl aged 9, and the woman's husband was away on business. The victims have not been named. Actually, Mo's client reportedly hired her through a housekeeping agency in Shanghai a year ago, and they actually at first they got along very well. And her client offered Mo a monthly salary of 7,500 yuan per month. You know, this is a very high salary already. And the client also invited her to her friends' parties and even lent her 100,000 yuan to buy a house. But Mo has, reportedly addicted to gambling and involved with loan sharks. And she has been fleeing debts from the record of Dongguan, where her hometown is, shows that she has been fleeing debts. And this case also has attracted wide public attention. The hashtag Hangzhou Nanny Sets Apartment on Fire generated 53 million views on Weibo by press time, with netizens posting more than 50,000 comments. So many netizens in China now are criticizing this lady's cruelty and blame the housekeeping agency, which was not named, for not vetting the employees sufficiently.
Yeah, so, you know, when I was looking at this, first of all, one of the first things I thought is, wow, you know, I feel for the father, especially, who went away on business and lost everything, you know. This really paints a picture of how we've got to make sure that the people we surround our loved ones with is someone we know we can trust, right? Because you could lose it all. And it's really sad. I hope he's doing okay, or I imagine, you know, he's not, but I hope he pulls through. But then also another thing is, why would Mo do this, right? It doesn't seem like she was being mistreated by this family. Why would she be violently murder these people, I guess, in this way? And so I think to paint a picture of why maybe I think this happened is to describe her past, okay? As Liu Min had said, she is no stranger to things like gambling. I guess before she took the job in Hangzhou, according to an investigative report done by Jimian News, she used to be an accountant in her relative's factory, but she became really addicted to gambling. Her ex-husband paid up to 1 million yuan for her to return, I guess, a gambling loan she owed to other people. But this didn't stop her. She continued to pursue this kind of gambling activity, and she would get money through either stealing loans or just borrowing from friends. I guess Mo owed as much at one point, also as much as 30,000 yuan in 2014. So she's always kind of been in debt, always kind of owed people. And I guess, you know, she had with this family in Hangzhou, she had lied to them in saying that, hey, my son is getting married and I don't have enough money right now, but can you loan me 100,000 yuan to get this help me get this apartment for my son so he has a place to raise a family. This family did give her that money. They were very nice to her. You
very
can imagine
generous.
They treated her pretty good. And it's also reported, I guess, that she stole from them as well, including, I guess, a watch priced at 300,000 yuan. So she wasn't just asking for money, but if she didn't get it, it seems like she was stealing it. So, you know, according to news reports, the real reason why she set fire to this place is still not clear. A lot of people have speculation. And, you know, my speculation is she had it pretty good, it seems like. This family treated her pretty well and was even willing to help her and considered her probably part of their family. I'm guessing that at some point, maybe while the father was on business trip or maybe right before, something happened where they were on to her. Maybe they knew about some of the debts she had and what was going on. Maybe they were threatening to turn her in, these kind of things. I imagine in that scenario, someone that thinks they have a lot to lose because of their past might do something like this. I guess another popular opinion right now that's going on is people think that she wanted to regain her host's trust. And so by setting this fire, she was going to, you know, break in and try to rescue them, tell them to get out of there. There's a fire, this kind of thing. I mean, we can only speculate at this point because there is no real evidence to support either one. But personally, I'm in the camp that maybe the family started to catch on to this long past she had.
Yeah, well, those are things that we can only speculate right now.
Right.
Just like Ryan has said, because the investigation is ongoing, but certainly this has started a debate.
A hot debate, yeah.
Yes, and I like to point out two things that I agree with you guys. One is that we're looking at a woman that is an addict to
gambling.
So I understand that some people are blaming this on the evilness and heart of some people. And I think when you look at the general population, there's always bound to be maybe a very, very, very small percentage of extreme cases that are done by extreme people.
Exactly.
And that is probably one of the ills of human nature to some extent. And this is, I think, one of those examples. But why do you think that people are so engaged in this discussion? It feels like everybody almost feel like they are part of this. Is it because that we live in a society that nannies or stay-at-home help is pretty common? Or is it that there seems to be this wealth divide in the employer and the employee, although this nanny did something, well, allegedly hugely, hugely horrible? What is triggering all this interest in a case like this?
Well, I think because one of the reasons is because China has developed to this stage when lots of households, lots of families having a child or an elderly person, family member, they need help. They need housekeeping services. So every family would easily think that they are connecting to this kind of issues because they will start to think who your nanny really is, who this person is that you are living with every day under the same roof. And so everyone would start to participate into the discussion. And this is why this case become really viral now on Chinese social media.
Yeah, I think also the concern is that maybe this was a realization of a flaw in a system and how things have been done for such a long time. That is because, according to Qianjiang Evening News, with a valid ID, anyone who is able to handle basic housework and communicate with clients can be a nanny. And though it might say it requires fake, not though it requires valid IDs, and through valid IDs, you can maybe do some sort of background check with these agencies that are hiring these people. It is also, as I understand, pretty common in a lot of these unseen markets off, you know, off the beaten path to be able to get fake IDs. So that service is there if they need it. Regardless, there's no real requirements that anyone that would require any specialization. So you're opening this field with, I mean, look at the money she was making, $7,500 a month. That's pretty good money. So you're opening up this field of work, which is pretty good money. And you're saying the requirements are basically anyone can do this. And you're not really having any serious background check. So I'll give you an example, actually. According to a news report on eCity or edushi.com, anyways, a reporter pretended to be a nanny looking for a job in Wenzhou City in Zhejiang Province. She just needed to turn in a 20 yuan job introduction fee and an ID card to ask the agent to find a nanny job. The reporter successfully registered with an agent without any resume or any other information for the registration. The agent only took questions about whether she was able to do housework or take care of a baby. And in Wenzhou, the monthly salary that she was offered was 4,000 to 5,000 yuan per month. So basically what I'm saying is it's super easy. And the only thing that's really being asked for is an ID, and in which case you can get fake IDs through certain ways. It's not unheard of. So you have good money being offered to anyone who can do basic requirements that are being asked for by agencies for this job. And so I think you're attracting possibly a crowd like this Miss Mo, people that need quick money, people that need good money, that don't maybe have any specific skills. And so I think what people are concerned of is, what are we doing? We have this kind of job that we don't have any requirements for, nothing really special, yet we let them into our private life. We let them handle and are around our most precious assets. So I think this realization of who we've been letting into our household, how we have been so relaxed in checking their credentials, this has been what's made it catch wildfire, is people are concerned we're too relaxed with who we're calling nanny.
Yeah, that's well said, and I think that argument certainly sums up well the concerns for people, and also I think to some extent the hosts or the employers, the people who are opening your doors to your family and home to a stranger, are kind of gambling too, because currently, are there ways to check, or are there ways that maybe can let us rest a little bit assured of who this person is claiming is who it's claiming?
Yeah.
For example, at this moment, we do in different cities, we do have this kind of organization called the Housekeeping Agency Association. For example, in Beijing, we have this kind of association. In Shanghai, we also have that. They actually have publicized their suggestions. You know, they collecting opinions from those agency companies and trying to tell them, you need to hire these people and give them insurance, give them trainings, and give them background checkups and health checkups, all kinds of things. But they are only suggestions. They are not legal enforcement. They have no legal enforcement effect. So those companies can listen to this kind of suggestion or not. So it doesn't work when this kind of agency has found that they are hiring someone underqualified, that they get no punishment, and no one is really supervising the whole market.
You know, I think that actually paints a different picture. Can these agencies necessarily claim negligence in what they're doing? You know, saying that, oh, I didn't know. Maybe you did know, actually. Maybe you were really relaxed. Maybe you chose to look the other way because you're just like, this is how I get money. And the more people, the more money I make. And she looks like she can take care of babies. And that's as far as my requirements go. I mean, the thing is, as I understand, so far there is no way for clients, these are like the family in Hangzhou, to find out who the person really is, whether the person has a criminal record or not. So that means you put a lot of trust on this institution, this company, the agency. And it's in some cases, you know, like Liu Min had alluded to, you know, these companies, these housekeeping companies, list requirements for the job seekers like health condition checks and so on, but few actually check it. So they're saying, you know, maybe for PR purposes, oh yeah, look, we ask them for this, we ask them for this, we ask them for this. The family starts to feel good. Oh, okay, so, you know, they've been looking at this, they've been looking at this, but few are actually checking it, which means I think this isn't necessarily them being able to claim negligence in this case, because I think actually deeper investigation will find that the company might just be saying, okay, don't tell me this, don't tell me this. Okay, well, all right, everything looks good here, and we're just going to hire you and find you a family. So, you know, of course, Mo is responsible for this. But I do think what I'm saying is some of the blame might also fall on this agency, because this agency was the one who said to this family, hey, we checked her. Maybe we asked for all these different things. You should feel good about the product we offer to you. But then not actually doing that at all, that's a lie. And so I don't think that's the only lie, maybe, from these agencies.
Personally speaking, what made me feel really disappointing is when I was doing this research yesterday, I logged on to the NCIIC.com.cn, which is the National Citizen Identity Information Center, and I key in my own ID number into it. It doesn't show. This system doesn't work on this kind of governmental administration website. But when I search for whether I can check my ID to see whether I'm real or not, I found that some nanny company website, it does have this kind of service. But when you key in your ID number, it only shows that you are a female and this is a valid ID. It doesn't show the person's picture, which means if I key in my hometown friend's ID number, it also shows that this is a valid ID, right? But it's not me who come here to work for you. So I can be fake still.
Yeah, so you can't tell whether this real valid ID matches the person who claims that this is his or her ID.
Right. And personally, from my personal experience, I have hired several nannies so far to help me out. The first nanny came to my house also told me that her ID was fake, because she believed that all the employers want to hire those age from 46 to 50. So her age was actually above 50. So she changed her age to 46 to get a better deal, you know. And she told me before she left my home, we've become very good friends already, but again, it kind of scared me off because I really didn't know who this person is. And this is the feeling shared by millions of Chinese families now.
Yeah, I think
we have no transparent labor information system database updated by any department of the government or of any companies. No one is really taking care of us.
I think that's a really important part, piece of information for people to hold. But also, I wonder if there could be the other side of the argument, which is about privacy, which is about should people's identity numbers, their names, and their photos be exposed to anybody in public to check? That's also the other side of the argument.
Yeah, exactly. I can understand what you mean. But in the company's system database, or if you go to the police station, you can find out whether this person's ID number is real and whether this ID belongs to this person. But on the other hand, I have to emphasize that this is a job different from all the other jobs. You can go to a company and be hired, and you still need to share your ID number, right, when you register with this company. And this is a job that you need to go into someone else's home to share the private life with this person. It's a special job. You need to be reliant. You need to be mentally, physically, morally standardized or trustworthy. person.
Right. I think on some level, you know, yes, you have the, you should be able to have your information, your personal information private. But let's say, like, if I wanted to be a nanny, then there should be, I go into the nanny career knowing that some of my personal information, it's what I choose to sacrifice to do this job,
yes,
is given to these people. No, it should not be forcibly taken away from me. But if I want to do the job, then I know going into the job, maybe the agency says, hey, listen, we have to give them this stuff. So before you sign anything and before you decide to be a nanny, you got to be comfortable with this. First of all I'm going to say is you got good money. You got access to well-off families. You've got easy requirements. This is what being a nanny is, which is actually a very important job. It's being next to people's most prized possessions, their family, right? And so these kind of people, I would say like Mo, are hustlers. They're looking for easy money, easy access to it, and this is an opportunity for them to get it. Guys, we need to vet these kind of people. I think going forward, you know, better ways to counter fake IDs so agencies can't claim negligence in this kind of matter of hiring people. I mean, a lot can be said about Mo, but definitely I think the agencies are playing a role in this. Yeah, Hyeong.
Yes. And one thing that I have emphasized is companies need to provide pensions, insurance, and benefits to these nannies, these people. They're also legal workers. They need to be respected.
Yes. The whole market needs to be regulated in that way, as in from the beginning to the end. And there's one last question for you guys. That is, what do you think of the relationship between the employer and the nanny should be under this household? It seems like just being nice is not enough.
Well, we need to respect this help as an employee, not to take this person as your own family member. That's what I believe in.
Yeah, I think when you let someone into your private life, your personal life, then you deserve to maybe know about them personally, because that's a huge risk, as we can see from what happened here. So I think for this to work, both parties need to know about each other, their past, so that they can better predict what the future is going to be like.
Yes, so both parties can have trust for each other. And also, we're talking about a market that is worth more than 1.6 trillion yuan from data since last year. So it needs more regulation to make sure that when money exchange hands and when someone, a stranger coming into your home, can be trustworthy and reliable, hopefully. Yes, you're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Liu Min.